For more information about Descriptive Video Service, call 1-800-333-1203 or visit the DVS website at www.wgbh.org/DVS. Write to us at DVS, WGBH Educational Foundation, 125 Western Avenue, Boston, Massachusetts, 02134, or call 617-492-2777, extension 3490. Major funding provided by the United States Department of Education.
A warning. Any use of this video other than home viewing is prohibited. Federal law provides severe penalties for the unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or exhibition of copyrighted videotapes. Now an animated logo appears. 20th Century Fox Home Entertainment. A message. The following film has been modified from its original version. It has been formatted to fit the screen. Another logo of a towering block of gold letters. 20th Century Fox. Hollywood spotlights crisscross their shining skyward beams. More words. A News Corporation company. Now, titles appear on a black screen. Fox 2000 Pictures presents an Edmonds Entertainment production, a George Tillman Jr. film, Soul Food. Now, photographs of African-American schoolchildren appear. We see pictures of them as teenagers, then adults.
You taught me everything and everything you've given me, I always keep it inside. You're the driving force in my life, yeah. There isn't anything or anyone that I could be, and it just wouldn't feel right if I didn't have you by my side. Oh, you were there for me to love and care for me when skies were gray. Whenever I was down, you were always there to comfort me. No one else can be what you have been to me. You will always be, you will always be the girl in my life for all time. Mama, mama, you know I love you.
You know I love you.
Starring Vanessa L. Williams as Terry, Vivica A. Fox as Maxine, Mia Long as Bird, and Michael Beach as Miles.
Loving you is like food to my soul.
Now, on Chicago's lakefront, a decorated limousine stands in front of a function hall.
My grandma always said, family pulling together in times of need will make it strong. Well, this here's a story about my family, about our family, about the things that pulled us together and the things that tried to pull us apart. Let's see, where should I begin?
Now let's give it up for the last sister and Joseph family to get married, Bird and Lil.
I guess on Bird's wedding is as good as place as any. Everyone who was anyone was there.
In a ballroom, a DJ and MC perform for the wedding guest. Some dance, others line up at the buffet and fill their plates with barbecue and mashed potatoes. A pregnant woman dances with her husband.
There you go, big mama.
That's my mom and dad dancing right there. They got 2.5 kids. Me, my sister Kelly, whoever that is in the oven.
Another woman rocks stiffly.
And that's Aunt Terry and Uncle Miles, like Miles Davis. They're both lawyers and got some big time dough. I'm talking dollar bills, y'all.
The bride has money pinned to her.
The bride is Big Mama's youngest, Aunt Robin. But we call her Bird, because she used to be skinny. The groom is my new Uncle Lim. Don't know much about him except folks always dogging him out because he's done time in jail.
Gone, baby. go pin it on her.
And that's Big Mama there. Big Mama Joe. People always said she never made one enemy in her whole life. Because if she did, she'd just have them over for some of her green beans, sweet potato pie, and southern fried chicken. And they'd be down with her after that.
Big Mama grins as a 10-year-old boy pins a $20 bill to the bride.
That's my baby.
At the buffet table, a man greets Big Mama.
Reverend Williams. Ain't even kin, but he's always got something to say or eat.
Oh, Mama Joe, how you doing, baby?
How you doing?
Oh, you're looking so good. Okay. Mama Joe, them daughters are looking good, too.
Oh,
oh, especially that lady bird. Lady bird, I was teasing with that little Big Mama. I said, would you marry the reverend? She's a reverend. If I marry, I got to have sex every night. I said, we'll put the reverend down for Tuesday.
About to change it up.
Across the room, a man in a white suit pulls out a $100 bill. As he struts toward Bird, the drunken groom, Lem, staggers off.
Oh, and this is Samuel. For Bird, he was just one of the skeletons in the closet Big Mama said we all had.
As Lem dances with a big-bottom woman in a short velvet dress, Samuel tucks the money into Bird's cleavage and traces one finger over her smooth skin. Meanwhile, the big-bottom woman tugs the hem of her dress down a little and grinds her backside against him. Bird pushes Samuel aside.
Get out of my way.
Congratulations.
Yeah, would you look at this boat?
Of course, by the looks of things, Lim wasn't doing any better in the skeletons in the closet category.
I don't know, but I'm going to go get her. Come on, Terry.
Terry and her pregnant sister, Maxine, storm off.
That was him with his ex, bumping and grinding like nobody's business.
Lim lifts the woman's leg up against his hip. As Big Mama watches disapprovingly, her grandson and some other boys bust out laughing. The woman's ample backside shimmies.
Honey,
who's Big Mama's favorite grandbaby?
I am.
And what would my sweetie do for Big Mama?
Anything.
Then go find your Aunt Bird, tell her to get her butt in here with her new husband now.
Lynn's ex shakes her butt at him.
Being Big Mama's favorite was no easy job, especially when it came to keeping the peace. But I always did what she asked, even if it meant charging into a bathroom full of fine, half-dressed women.
The boy covers his eyes.
Ahmad, what you want?
Your bird.
What?
Big Mama said get your black ass out here.
Boy, Big Mama ain't told nobody's black ass to get nowhere. Now you stay out of grown folks' business.
Maxine shoves her son out.
Not believe what I just saw.
Me either.
Who invited him? How did Samuel get here?
I didn't invite him.
Doesn't matter who invited him. What we do is stand there and let him fill you up in your wedding gown.
And now your man is out there bumping and grinding with some Miss Hoochie Mama, acting like it wasn't a wedding less than 10 minutes ago.
Whose man?
Your man, girl, bumping.
Oh, hell no. Ain't nobody about to disrespect me on my wedding.
That's what I'm talking about.
Excuse me, lady.
And did you see that dress Miss Thing had on?
Did you see her behind in that dress?
Girl, just all up a butt. See, that's what she get, dragging somebody in who ain't got nothing and putting him off on family.
You're talking about family, putting him off on me. I'm the one who paid for this wedding.
Terry, why you always gotta let everybody know you pay for everything?
Because I do.
Bird storms back into the ladies' room.
Who is that hoochie-coochie mama with her fat ass all over my husband out there on the dance floor?
I told you.
This is my wedding day. I'm supposed to be happy.
Shoot, what y'all talking about? We happy?
Supposed to be the happiest day of your life.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah, we're happy.
But we'd be more happy if we go out there and beat that hoe down.
In the ballroom, guests crowd around the stage.
There they are. Let's go get her ass.
Bird gathers her skirts and marches into the crowd. Among the onlookers, Miles and Kenny point and laugh. Little Ahmad breaks into a grin. Bird slows her charge when she sees Lim dancing with Big Mama. Wearing a pink ribboned hat, the stout woman laughs heartily. Bird's frown melts into a smile, and she laughs along.
You see, right there, that was just like Big Mama, always knowing just what to do to set things right. I used to think she and I had a special connection, like we shared an inside joke no one else was in on. Of course, it wasn't long I found out she had the same connection with all of us. Yeah, she was the rock of the Joseph family. The one that held us all together.
Now words appear. Sunday dinner.
Part of the reason we were such a tight family is because we always had Sunday dinners at Big Mama's. They were a tradition that started down in Mississippi when the old folks got together after church to talk smack and chow down on some good old soul food. And Big Mama kept the tradition going when she and Granddaddy moved to Chicago.
Now, Thanksgiving.
Holidays, of course, were bigger. More folks, more eats, more souls, more soul food.
Guys watch a football game.
People would be rolling in from all over. Like Uncle Remus, who was always hitting folks up for $2 because he was always broke. Before Granddaddy died, he used to own a barbershop, corner store, and a laundromat. Not bad for a black man in those days. Because of that, rumor has it Mama Jo's got a big stash of loot in the way somewhere. But Mama says that's nothing but a myth.
Reverend Williams shovels in food.
We used to always have eating contests, which the Reverend would always win. Then he split after he busted slobs with my mom and aunties. I can still see my dad now, looking like he wanted to break Reverend Williams' neck.
Upstairs, Ahmad and his sister Kelly peek at a tray of food by a door.
Last but not least, there's Big Mama's brother, old Uncle Pete, who ain't left his room in something like 10 years now.
The door opens. As a cane pulls the tray in, the kids run for the door.
Just sits up there watching his old TV set. It's kind of a lights on, nobody's home thing. Yeah, those were the good days, all right. Back before things took a turn.
Inside Big Mama's three-story house, Reverend Williams watches Lim and Kenny play blackjack.
Can I do my thing?
In the nearby living room, Ahmad dances as Miles plays piano. In the kitchen, Bird measures a quarter cup of seasoned salt for a pot of greens.
Oh, no, baby, that's too much. Just put about 4 pinches in there.
Now, Mama, how you know how much to put in there without using a measuring cup? And why we gotta eat ham hocks anyway?
While the men hang out, Mama tosses chicken in a paper bag. Terry and Maxine cook, too.
Ham hocks, pig feet, chitlins. So we learn how to make things taste good by trying things out. See, soul food cooking is about cooking from the heart.
That's right, Mama.
Lim peeks his shaved head into the kitchen and sees his wife draining eggs in the sink. He beckons her with a nod. Taking off her oven mitts, Bird smirks over her shoulder and leaves the kitchen. Big Mama grins at her daughters.
What's up, Mama? Newlyweds. She spent more time getting her shop together. Instead of following Lem around, maybe she'd pay me back that loan.
Terry, you are not hurting because you gave Bird money for that shop.
I loaned her money, Max. As far as you're concerned, I'm an ATM. Automatically Terry's money.
Oh, you two, hush up. You do this every Sunday.
Well, Mama, she started.
Maxine, you go on and finish those biscuits. Terry, stop running down your family. Pay more attention to your own man. You're already on husband number two.
Now in the bathroom, Bird and Lim have sex. Sitting on the sink's edge, Bird covers her husband's mouth as he thrusts between her spread legs. Bird's panties dangle from her boot. She stuffs the underwear into his mouth. Back in the kitchen, Ahmad dries his hands and sets the dish towel on the stovetop.
Big Mama, that fried chicken smelled good. Can't wait to get some of that.
Oh, baby, don't ever put anything like this on the stove. You could burn the house down.
She drags her arm through the open flame.
Time Bird almost burned the house down.
Big Mama, your arm!
Mama!
Give him some butter, baby.
You don't need butter, you need ice.
Mama, you ain't been taking your insulin.
Mama jerks her arm away.
And I bet you ain't been to a doctor either.
Maxine, I told you I don't need no doctor. Now, there's nothing that little salve or turpentine or my herbs won't cure.
Except your diabetes.
I didn't know what diabetes was back then, but I was sure about to find out.
The family sits down to dinner.
As we bow our heads on this
the table
day,
is spread with glazed ham, macaroni and cheese, biscuits, and fried chicken.
A special prayer for Mother June, who has provided for the Roman Hour of the Reverend, beautiful breasts and delicious legs on the table. Lord, all I'm asking is bless this bread, bless this meat, and bless my stomach, cause I was gonna eat.
Amen.
They pass around the heaping platters of food. Big Mama sits at the head of the formal dining table with her daughters and sons-in-laws on each side. Ahmad and Kelly sit near Reverend Williams at the other end. The well-dressed Terry and Miles sit next to Bird, who has reddish hair cut in a soft, shoulder-length shag. Big Mama spoons up macaroni with her bandaged arm and passes the bowl to Kenny. He gives it to Maxine, who serves her children.
I can't wait till Sunday come to come.
Oh, thank you. I dreamt of fishes last night.
Somebody's been doing some deep sea fishing.
Wow. Yeah. Don't look over here.
Don't point over here.
What's she talking about, fishes?
Oh, no, it just means that either somebody's coming or somebody in the family is pregnant.
Or gonna get pregnant.
What you looking at me for? Yeah,
pregnant. Yeah, I know she can't be talking about me because this is the last fish dream, right? Yeah.
Don't sweep the dust straight out the door.
If you do, you sweep out the good fortune.
Whatever that means.
Wasn't that daddy that said that?
Daddy was the most superstitious man I ever met.
Oh, yeah? Mm. Well, check it out. I got one. If you step on a crack, you break your mama's back.
Bird wipes her mouth and picks up a casserole dish.
Did you guys try my fish cakes? Because I made them this year, and I'm very proud.
My plate's full. Mm-hmm.
My plate's full, too.
See, y'all ain't right. But that's all right.
I like them, baby.
That's right. My boo likes them. That's all that matters.
That's all right, Bird. You ain't got to worry about cooking, girl, because you know you can do some hair. And we know Miss Terry, we know she can't cook nothing. Ain't that right, Mine? That's why you always had me cooking, huh?
Mama scowls.
Well, I wasn't in the kitchen, because Mama and Daddy kept my head in the books. And that's why I'm a successful lawyer. And that's why
As you can see, Moms and Aunt Terry don't get along. Never have, maybe never will. Big Mama says she should have named them Vinegar and Oil, because they just don't mix. It all started back in the early 80s, back before I was even born.
At a roller rink.
The rule was, if one of the Joseph girls had a date, their beau had to bring along one of the sisters. You know, like a chaperone. Back when Terry and my pops were going out, Big Mama always had Moms tag along, just in case Pops tried anything.
Kenny sports a long jerry curl and a goatee. Partnered with Terry, he leers at Maxine, zipping around in satin pants and a t-shirt that says Foxy Lady. The teenage Terry looks on as Maxine falls down. Kenny skates to a rescue.
If your woman steps out with another man,
you all right?
As he helps her up, Maxine checks out her bumped elbow. She and Kenny gaze into each other's eyes.
Now, I can't say for sure Mom started it, but for damn sure Dad couldn't resist whatever it was she was throwing down.
Terry watches them sadly.
Look at him. See what I'm saying?
Another skater whipping by accidentally knocks Terry down. Later, outside in a winter coat, Terry notices a red Skylark parked by the curb. She tries to peer through the steamed-up windows. A hand inside wipes away the steam. It's Maxine.
Jenny! Mom stole Dad right out from underneath Aunt Terry's nose.
Terry.
And the two haven't gotten along since.
Terry. Get the heck out of the car!
Terry, get out of the car now!
Maxine opens the door, which knocks Terry to the ground. The sisters go at it. Terry gets Max in a headlock. Kenny stands by laughing the whole time. Back at Sunday dinner.
Now just cut out all that who shot John. Y'all do this every Sunday.
Talking about I can't cook. I've been cooking longer than you've been alive.
Cornbread.
Cornbread is my specialty from scratch.
Kenny suddenly speaks up.
Well, why'd you get thrown in the joint, man?
Kenny, you don't...
What?
Bird rolls her eyes at him.
Look, I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I made a stupid mistake. Came here from New York to help my cousin out, and I guess I just got caught.
Doing?
What? Nah, it's all right. I got caught selling a little something.
And he paid his debt to society, and it's no different from Daddy and his gambling.
You see, in life, we all make some bad choices. My husband was gambling, and yeah, he was bad at it. In fact, we almost lost this house. But I worked on my hands and knees, cleaning up after white folks, taking in laundry. See, you do what you have to do to stay strong. Save the family.
A young woman walks in the front door unnoticed.
Now, I'm going to tell you something. One finger pointing the blame don't make no impact. But you ball up all them fingers into a mighty fist and you can strike a mighty blow. Now, this family got to be that fist.
The visitor enters the dining room.
Lord! Faith!
The men ogle her as she sets down her bags and takes off her sunglasses. Bird whacks her grinning husband. Maxine's nostrils flare.
Cousin Faith, Lord have mercy. Denise Big Mama took in after her sister died. In case you missed the news, Faith is trouble. Big time trouble.
What is she doing here?
Last we heard, she was stripping in some club out in California. And some guy supposedly discovered her and got her dancing in rap videos. So I ain't never seen her in none of them.
She's planning on staying.
Terry, you can take her to Miami because you know she ain't staying with McKinney and the kids.
Ahmad, kiss your cousin.
Now here she comes.
Ahmad stands up and gives his older cousin a tentative hug. The Reverend squirms excitedly in his chair.
Rev, this is my sister's baby.
He shakes the girl's hand.
Mama Jo, Mama Jo.
Grabbing her waist, the old man clumsily embraces her. Maxine winces and grabs her chair.
Welcome home.
I think
Welcome.
It's time.
What's on the doctor's number?
Little Kelly looks around as the grown-ups spring into action. Kenny helps his wife out of the chair. Lynn comes over to the other side, and the two men hurry her out of the dining room. Her hair pulled back in a braided bun, Maxine nods and points to the front door. Later, at the hospital, newborns wriggle in clear plastic cribs. Kenny holds his tiny infant child in his arms. On the other side of the nursery window, the family waves and makes adoring faces. Bird wears a knit cap and pastel green mittens. Terry's blue-green eyes gaze in wonder. Kenny turns to look at them all and blows out a long sigh through his full lips. Ahmad's mouth falls open in a toothy grin, his big brown eyes sparkling. Looking over his shoulder, he notices Big Mama sitting far away in a chair. She dozes with her injured arm resting on her lap.
The birth of my baby sister, Faith popping in from out of nowhere. Who could have guessed things wouldn't just keep getting better?
In a doctor's exam room, Maxine looks at an x-ray of Big Mama's hips. Terry stands behind an examining table while Bird helps their mother put on her sweater.
I'm not getting my leg cut off.
The sisters stroke her shoulders.
Mama, you have to. There's no blood circulating to that leg. You're diabetic.
You haven't been watching what you eat.
As Terry picks lint from her mother's sweater, Big Mama suddenly gets her purse and stands up.
Nobody's cutting off my leg. And that's that.
Later, signs on a beauty shop's window read, Birds, under a grand opening banner. Inside, stylists gossip with each other.
So wait a minute, you're telling me I should give him some, right?
Give it to him, talk it to him, work.
Give it to him, good.
What y'all over there talking about?
The nasty, darling.
Now, come on now. We got clients.
Kenny walks up to Bird.
Y'all better slow down.
Oh, Bird. I just finished up the garbage.
Oh, thank you, baby. Why don't you help me sweep up some of this hair and then call your mom and see what time she's going to pick you up.
Handsome Samuel walks in and looks around the shop. Striding past the chairs, he pats Ahmad on the head.
Sup, shorty?
Ahmad adjusts his Nike cap. Samuel looks Bird over.
Nice. Very nice.
She stiffens, then continues styling hair.
I see Terry finally got up off the dime and gave you the money to open up your little shop.
Terry didn't give me anything. It was an investment.
See, if you had to come to me, I would have given it to you.
But at what cost?
How much are you willing to sacrifice?
Nothing.
Bird's customer shakes her head to herself.
Mm-hmm. Girl, you are getting thick.
That'll do it. They'll take care of you up at the front desk, and I'll see you next week.
Samuel stares at Bird's behind. She turns around.
Let me tell you something, okay? I am married now. So whatever it is that you and me had going on before is over with. And besides, my husband's name is written all over my kitty cat.
Licking her finger, she traces it down her tight Angora sweater. Samuel holds out a gift box.
A wedding gift. I know you like the finer things in life. And I know your man can't afford to buy you shit like that. I mean, with him just getting out of jail. When you need me, call me.
Bird holds the gold-coiled bracelet he gave her. Samuel brushes his hand down her cheek.
Lady Shorty.
Bird looks at the jewelry.
Oh, my God.
Later on the porch of the two-story Victorian home, Kenny struggles with a large, heavy box.
Got my shorty out right.
He manages to open the screen door with his elbow.
Hey.
Hey, baby.
You're gonna love this.
Kenny, what you done brought up in here?
It's an Apple Performer.
A computer?
It's for the baby.
For the baby.
Uh-huh. Oh, man, it's got everything. It's got a color monitor, CD-ROM, internet, fax, email. It's got everything.
You don't think she's a little young for a computer?
Nah.
Kenny beams at his wife, who's dressed in a pink bathrobe and cradling their newborn daughter.
You just look beautiful.
You're silly.
Hold for 1 second, right?
Kenny pulls off his black down coat as he hurries into the dining room. He wears a crisp uniform shirt underneath. As Maxine lays the baby down in the bassinet, Kenny puts a record on the stereo. He struts through the door and does a turn like the Temptations.
What you doing, Kenny?
He dances over to Maxine in her armchair and pulls her to him.
You are so silly. What you doing?
Come in now. It's your fine self.
They embrace in a rocking slow dance.
My other baby, huh?
Mm-hmm. Smelling all good.
You gonna get in trouble now.
What you talking about?
You know the doctor said we gotta wait 6 weeks.
It's been 6 weeks?
No, it ain't been 6 weeks.
Oh, see, you wrong. You know that. You wrong. Did you hear that?
It's the door.
No, it wasn't the door.
Yes.
Kenny answers the door. It's Lim, wearing a black leather jacket, an unbuttoned shirt, and jeans. He nods hello to Kenny.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
I was just, I don't even know why I'm here. I just, if you're busy, I'll come back another time.
No, come on in, man. Come on in.
What's up, Kenny?
It's Lim.
Lim licks his lips and steps into the living room, where Maxine holds the baby again.
How you doing, Lim?
Hey.
Putting his hands in his pockets, Lim shifts awkwardly.
I just need to talk to you for a minute. It's kind of personal.
Maxine lowers her head and eyes the men. Kenny steps over to her and whispers in her ear.
See, that's how we got this for you, babe.
He swats her behind as she walks out.
So, what's up, man?
They sit down on the couch. Lim rubs his hands together, then rests his elbows on his knees. He stares ahead.
I was fired from my job today. I lied on my application. They ask if you ever been convicted, and I checked no. See, Kenny, man, you and Miles, man, y'all got yourselves together on the job, too. I was just hoping if you knew anybody or of any job openings, man, I'll do anything.
No, man, we'll find you something, all right?
Lim smiles.
Cool, man. Thanks, man. So now the only thing is I gotta find a way to explain this to Bird.
What?
She's high maintenance, you know. I mean, she walks around the house in Chanel sandals and shit like that, and I don't want to make it seem like I'm living off of her.
You don't want to tell him, man.
Why not?
Because you ain't got a job. Nah, you don't want to tell a woman.
A black woman.
Especially a black woman. You ain't got a J-O-B. It's all right for them to lie around the house, but let a man.
A brother.
Especially a brother. You could be fixing the caps underneath the kitchen seats or
watering the plants.
Washing the dishes.
Taking the garbage out.
Kenny digs for cash in the pocket of his faded jeans.
No matter what you do around the house, they still gonna consider you a
trifling nigga.
Mm-hmm. Don't tell her.
Yeah.
Now, Terry walks into her chic, spacious kitchen where Miles and Ahmad prepare dinner.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, Aunt Terry.
Hey, sweetie, you staying with us?
Yeah.
She gives the boy a big hug.
Kenny and Max need a little time, and Kelly's with Bird. I got your favorite tonight.
Hi.
I spent many hours slaving.
Their dining table stands on a platform overlooking the kitchen. Terry sits down wearing a gray business suit.
Forward to it.
Aunt Terry?
Mm-hmm.
Is Big Mama gonna get her leg cut off?
You're worried, aren't you, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know.
She takes off her jacket.
Looks like that case is kicking your butt.
Yeah, I don't know how long the jury's gonna be out. And the firm is really pushing me to be partner.
Miles looks at her blankly.
Well, that's what you want, right? To make partner?
Well, any attorney worth their salt wants to make partner, Miles.
I bet that's because I'm fake.
Serving up salad, Terry stiffens. Ahmad leaves the table, and Miles stabs at the food on his plate.
There's some money missing from our savings. Last week there was 90...
I took $5,000 out. I used it as down payment for studio time. Fellas and I are gonna record a CD.
A CD?
Yeah.
Miles, I thought you playing with this band was just a hobby.
Why would you say something like that?
Because you're an attorney. You work for a great firm with a great reputation. You could make twice the amount of money if you spent more time on your job and quit this music crap.
If I'm going to take $5,000 of my money out of the bank, I'll do it.
Only $31,132 are yours.
Tomorrow, we're getting separate accounts.
He stands up from the table.
Okay. Just for the book's sake, next time you take some money out, inform me. All right?
Fine.
He heads down the hall, passing Faith on her way in. She wears a halter top and hip huggers.
Terry.
Hey. I just want to say thanks again for letting me crash here. Your place was really fantastic. So, where do I put my stuff?
Terry gives her cousin a slow, scrutinizing look. Later at the hospital.
Hard as it was, Big Mama was finally convinced to have surgery.
Mama smiles at Maxine.
You know, your daddy always said you was the strongest. And the family gonna need your strength now. Now, where's that baby?
Maxine waves Ahmad over to Big Mama's gurney. The whole family's in the hospital corridor. Big Mama cups Ahmad's cheek in her graceful hand and grins at his blinking brown eyes.
Oh, sweet pea, I'm gonna be just fine. Just need you to be strong.
He grips the gurney rails.
That's why I'm doing this for you. So we're gonna be strong together, okay?
Forcing a lopsided smile, he nods.
Okay.
Big Mama squeezes her eyes shut as an orderly wheels her away.
After they wheel Big Mama off down the hall, we all just kind of sat around on our hands. Saying nothing.
In a waiting room, Maxine perches on the arm of Kenny's chair and holds their older daughter against her. Kenny cradles the baby in his arm. Ahmad stands apart from the family. His mother touches him tenderly as she passes. Maxine speaks to two doctors in the hall. Then clutching her chest, she hurries back to get the others. They stream urgently out of the waiting room, brushing past Ahmad as they follow the doctors. Leaning against the wall, he watches them all go. Ahmad takes a slow, deep breath, then looks back at the waiting room. His sad gaze settles to the floor. Later, Ahmad joins them by Big Mama's bed, where the grown-ups listen to a doctor. Blue tubes stick out of Big Mama's mouth. As Ahmad approaches, his father quickly covers the blood-stained bandage covering Big Mama's stump.
Ahmad? Ahmad, baby. I don't think you should be in here. Wait, come on.
He fights to see past his mother, who holds him tightly. Kenny comes over to them, and Ahmad starts to cry. A tear rolls down his cheek.
The doctor said Big Mama suffered a stroke during surgery and fell into a coma. We all kind of knew things would never be the same, and all any of us could feel was bad.
Now at a commercial printing office, Lim stands in front of a manager's desk wearing a gray suit and a stark white dress shirt. The manager studies an application form on his clipboard, pointing his pen at the page as he reads through the lines. Lim presses his lips together and watches the pale, double-chin manager scan the application. Next to the line, "Have you ever been convicted of a crime?" is a check mark. Yes. The man peers up at Lim over his plastic-framed glasses. Lim lets out a slow breath. The manager glances back to the page, and Lim cranes his neck to see over the desk.
We'll call you. Look, there's a sign outside your door that says you're willing to train. Now, I got experience on the presses, and I'm a quick learner. I can do the work.
The manager takes off his glasses and puts them in his pocket. There's a crease mark on his long nose.
Like I said, we'll call you.
He turns around in his desk chair and busies himself with a stack of papers. Lim stays put a second, then turns and leaves. Later, Ahmad walks with his friends. Dressed in winter coats and hats, they stride down the sidewalk. Lim drives past in a teal blue Bronco.
Now!
Leaving his friends, Ahmad jogs across the street and gets in the truck beside Lim. As they drive along a rundown block, Ahmad checks out Lim's white shirt and leather driving gloves.
Why you all G'd up today, Lim?
If I tell you something, you gotta promise me you won't tell your mama or your nosy-ass aunties.
Cool.
They drive under the L tracks.
I was fired from my job last week. Been trying to find another one, except things ain't going so good.
I don't sweat it. Find a gig soon.
You got a lot of confidence just to be a little shorty.
I get it from Big Mama, they say.
Lim pulls off his gloves.
Big Mama. Hey, throw these in the glove box for me.
Ahmad finds a 9mm pistol inside, laying in plain view. He stares at Lim, who slams a box shut. Lim glances over at his nephew.
You know I spent some time in prison, right?
Ahmad looks at him seriously.
I wouldn't even been locked up if I'd have been smart. You seem to be.
You know, Mama's always saying you gotta love yourself. Maybe you should try that.
Lim cracks a smile and knocks fists with Ahmad. Later, Big Mama's girls and their husbands sit in folding chairs around her hospital bed.
Well, it's getting late, and I still have to grocery shop for dinner tomorrow.
Terry eyes Maxine from the other side of the bed.
Max, surely you don't expect to have Sunday dinner tomorrow.
Why not?
Jesus, Max, Mama is in a coma.
Yeah, oh, baby, maybe we should...
No. I'm not going to let her ruin a 40-year family tradition.
Tradition?
Yes, tradition.
Don't you tell me about tradition. I am the oldest one. I am the responsible one. I'm the one who graduated from law school. You're the one that dropped out when you were 19. It's all about your jealousy, Max.
Will you guys stop? All right. Let's just take a vote.
That's a good idea. Let's take a vote.
All right, cool. Let's vote. Hands in the air for all those who don't want to have Sunday dinner tomorrow.
Lim wrinkles his nose. Miles looks at Terry, then looks away.
All right. Hands in the air for all those who want to be sitting in front of some chitlins, black-eyed peas, greens, some fried chicken, macaroni and cheese, and egg pie.
Kenny puts up his hand.
I won't let you disrespect my mama like she's already dead.
Your mama?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Terry, you get on my fucking nerves with all of this.
The doctor hurries over to the bedside. In the corridor outside, Ahmad sits with his sister and cousin Faith, who looks sadly at the boy over the rims of her tinted glasses.
I'm sorry.
I'm out of here. Come on, Kenny!
Ahmad shifts in his seat. His parents storm out into the hall.
Come on, let's go. We have to.
Next, that wasn't even necessary.
Oh, that's all right. I'm tired of her. She always got something to say.
Faith stays behind on the hallway bench.
Grandma's illness was taking its toll on the family. Nobody knew where to throw the blame, except at each other.
Miles finds Terry standing out in the cold.
Aunt Terry and Mom's especially. Because of them, hardly no one was speaking anymore.
They stare awkwardly at each other, then Miles takes Terry in his arms. On Sunday, Bird and Lynn sit with the Reverend in front of a burned chicken, charred macaroni, and scorched cornbread.
Poor Aunt Bird. She tried her best to pull off that Sunday's dinner all by herself. Because of Terry and Mom's fight, no one showed up. It was the first time in 40 years our Sunday tradition was broken.
Let's just eat.
Bird passes Reverend Williams the blackened cornbread.
Here you go.
She puts her chin in her hand. Later, wearing a white apron tied around her overalls, Bird carries a meal on a tray to the second floor. She walks to the room at the end of the hall and sets the tray in front of the door.
Uncle Pete! Dinner!
A worn walking stick appears and pulls the tray inside. The door reopens, and the tray of untouched food slides back out. Bird frowns, and her shoulders fall. Now at the hospital, Ahmad strolls to the ward and finds Big Mama's bed in a far corner.
How you doing?
Weighted down with a full backpack and a winter coat, he strides heavily to the foot of her bed. Ahmad offers his grandmother a bright smile. She lies flat on her back, unconscious. With his oversized Nike cap turned sideways on his head, Ahmad steps closer and touches Big Mama's hand. He takes off his backpack and sits down.
I know you think I've been avoiding you. It's just that every time I come by to see you, there's always people around doing stuff to you or arguing around you. Anyway, I know you're wondering how everyone else is doing. Not good. We didn't have a Sunday dinner yesterday. One person, nobody showed up. After church, Mom didn't feel like cooking at home, so Daddy brought home some Mickey D's. We were all on the toilet all night.
Ahmad's grin drains away.
I need you, Big Mama.
Leaning far over the hospital bed, Ahmad kisses his grandmother's cheek. Thick white tape holds respirator tubes to her face. Ahmad slings his backpack over one shoulder and heads out. Suddenly, he stops, nods his head, and smiles.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Maybe when you get out of here, I can help you turn the ground over. As you call it, put some fertilizer down. Yeah, I'll help you.
Now in her kitchen, Terry wears a sleeveless black dress and a strand of pearls. As she pours herself some coffee, Miles kisses her neck.
Come dance with me.
What?
Come dance with me. Come on. Come on.
Miles.
Come on.
Dance.
Dance.
I don't want to dance.
Come on.
Miles. You know, Mama is not doing well at all.
Yeah, I know. And come dance with me and get your mind off of it.
I also can't go to see you perform tonight.
Well, that's what you said last week and the week before. I'd really like you,
you know,
to
I'm swamped
tonight.
With work.
Miles clamps his lips together and puts his hand on his hip.
You know, just so you know, I'm thinking about pursuing my music full-time.
She stares into her coffee cup.
Miles, it's a mistake.
It's what I want to do.
As he walks out, Faith sashays in, her long black hair swinging.
You find a job yet?
She helps herself to some juice.
Nope. But I have an audition coming up. I'm just not into the straight job thing.
Straight job thing?
Look, I didn't plan on staying here. I thought I was going to be at Mama Joe's. If you want me to leave, I'll leave.
Why'd you come back here, Faith? What are you going to do this time? Run up Mama's credit?
Faith folds her arms and smirks.
Or, make her co-sign on a car, and then you leave her with the note. Or, no, better yet, why don't you get arrested again? And let Mama put up the house to post your bail.
I've changed.
You changed? Don't you try to start any shit this time. You hear me?
She locks her blue-green eyes on Faith. Later, at a nightclub. On the stage, Miles sings and plays keyboard behind a vocal quartet. Another singer plays bass, while the drummer plays at the back of the stage. Patrons sit in a horseshoe-shaped booth in front of the stage. Faith walks in and slides off her coat. Underneath, she wears a red miniskirt, which shows off her smooth, muscular legs.
I spin like Columbine Day. Trying to sound things got this way. I thought that we were in love.
Faith works her way through the crowd and watches Miles work the keyboard.
But lately I feel you're not home by design. But still I'm gonna try to give you the love of my life. In hopes that you will open up your heart. Came about you. Yeah.
Low-cut top, Faith snaps her fingers and sways. The club's dim light glows red on her. Miles grins as he sings. Faith dances in place, throwing her arms in the air. Two of the singers wear shades. Miles waves shyly to Faith, who holds up her hand, then claps excitedly. After the set, Miles strikes a match and lights Faith's cigarette. She leans back and blows out smoke.
That was the bomb! I'm serious, cousin, you was jamming. Man, I didn't know you could play like that. You're good.
Thanks, but it's not just about me. I mean, we're a group, you know. Besides, the way those guys sing, they just make my stuff come alive.
But you're the mastermind. You put all this together. This is your shit. The group's called Milestone. It ain't called them.
She drinks a shot.
We were thinking about that name.
So, you really want to pursue your music full time, huh? I heard you and Terry talking.
Your man's looking over here. Look a little jealous.
Family comes first. Besides, I gotta get my career together before I can even think about a man. See, I got goals, okay?
Okay.
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 Okay. Okay, promise not to laugh. Jesus, you right there.
I promise.
Okay.
I promise.
Fine. I wanna dance. No, I mean really dance. You know, I'll do Broadway musicals, choreograph the Oscars. I've spent the last few years in my life trying to figure out what makes me happy. And I learned that the only thing that keeps me sane is dancing. So I'm going to put every inch of my energy into it. So help me, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
And plus, just feels so damn good. You know what I mean? It's like that with you and your music, right?
You want another drink?
Mm-hmm.
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 Okay. Sly, let's get another one over here, all right?
Ooh, listen.
She sways dreamily on her bar stool.
Oh, that's my jam. Oh, come and dance with me.
I'm on my break.
Come on.
Miles shrugs and puts down his drink.
What the hell?
Daytime at Big Mama's house. Bird comes in the back door with two of her stylists.
It was turba, toe back, and over. Hello. So you cooked all this food and none of your people showed up?
And you know I wasn't having it.
Ooh, I know you wanted to bash somebody.
Ooh, well, we can help you get rid of some of it.
Now I know why none of her people showed up. Miss Thing can't cook. You can't cook, darling. Look at this. What is this, Crea? What was that?
Bird peers out the kitchen door, followed by a tall, skinny stylist with crayon red hair. A fat, light-skinned woman follows him, and they all crowd around the bathroom door. A man walks out. They beat the intruder to the floor, then realize it's Lynn, wrapped in a towel. Lim stands up, and his towel falls off. The tall, skinny stylist leers, and Lim quickly covers himself. Bird pushes him back in the bathroom and shuts the door behind him.
In the bathroom.
Her friends huddle.
Oh my God, did you see that thing?
What are you doing home in the middle of the afternoon?
Got fired from my job.
What do you mean you got fired? What, you can't take work in a 9-to-5? You got in trouble again?
No. I got fired because I lied on my application about being convicted.
And you felt like you couldn't tell me that?
I wanted to tell you. But Kenny thought it would be in your best interest if you just didn't know.
Kenny? You gonna listen to Kenny? Well, what about us?
It's not about us. It's about this stupid-ass bullshit system. They lock you up and expect you to do something better with your life, but when you get out, there ain't nothing better, because the crackers that got everything don't give you a second chance.
You know what? That white man shit is old, and I'm sick and tired of niggas using that shit as an excuse.
Well, hey. I'm the one who's been on 6 interviews. 6! They won't hire me. So what you know about being a black man anyway?
You're right. I don't know shit about being a black man.
Lim sucks in air through his teeth. He looks away from Bird's wide-eyed gaze. Softening, Bird raises her eyebrows.
I'm sorry. Look, boo, the shop is doing really well right now. I'll just pay for our bills. And there's a lot of people that come through there. I'll see if anybody can hook you up with a job.
Bird, I don't need your help. I can find my own damn job.
As Bird folds her arms, her gaze fixes with interest below his waist.
Stop looking at my dick!
Now, Miles drives his Lexus through downtown traffic. Glancing out his window, he notices Faith arguing with a man on the sidewalk. She waves her arms while the dreadlocked man adamantly taps the palm of his hand. Miles pulls over.
Paid in full. Money up front. All right. You should have had the money you said you were going to pay me.
I go in.
Money up front.
So long.
Money up front.
Miles. All right. I'm 5 minutes away from the most important audition of my life, and this fool is trying to screw me over.
Look, it's about principles. Business is business.
He flicks some bills at her and walks off.
Fuck you up, Dreadman.
Turning back to Miles, her eyes suddenly widen.
Oh, Miles. You can help me. Look, they got a piano up in the audition room. Look, all of you gotta do is just play anything, and I'll just dance to it. Come on.
Come on, cuz, please. This is very important to me. I owe you.
In a spacious dance studio, Miles sits at a baby grand while Faith stretches out by the window. Wearing flare-leg jazz pants, a bra top, and a bandana over her hair, she meets his nervous stare.
Ready.
Three judges sit at a table on one end of a bare wooden floor. Miles puts a drum beat on a boombox and starts to play. Arching her slender back, Faith makes a graceful circle into an arabesque. Her muscles tighten beneath her honey-colored skin. She pirouettes across the studio, and Miles follows her change. Faith's lithe frame glides as she moves around the room. Punching the air, she playfully shimmies, then grinds her hips in a circle. Wall-sized studio mirrors reflect the judges' impassive faces. Faith pirouettes back toward them with limber steps. She scoops into a cobra's arching pose. Leaping backward, she dances toward the mirror, where she repeats her shimmy and slow, seductive grind. She smiles serenely as she jumps into the air. Faith strikes an elegant kneeling pose, then stands and faces Miles. She offers her graceful hand to him. Now at Bird Shop.
Okay, Keisha, we have you down at 10 with Stirfon. Thanks, bye.
I knew you'd call.
See you well. Let me take your briefcase, baby. Come on over here.
Here we go.
I'm glad you can make it. There's something I want to talk to you about.
Is that right?
Ooh. Yeah. Have a seat. Why don't you let me hook up your fade?
Fade?
Yeah. You know, edge you up, clean you up just a little bit. You're looking good, but I can always make it better.
Dig that.
He sits, and Bird snaps a barber's cape around him.
What's this all about?
What do you mean?
You acting like, you know, I'm Big Willie or something like that, and you treat me all good. What's going on?
She leans over his shoulder.
Actually, I need a favor.
Ahmad comes in from outside. His eyes narrow as he sees Bird leaning close to Samuel.
When I first saw Samuel, I know he was up to no good. He wanted Bird bad, and there wasn't nothing he wouldn't do or say to get her. Yeah, something bad was about to happen. It was as plain to see as all those fat suits he was always wearing.
Bird's whisper lulls Samuel into a trance-like gaze. Mulling things over, he pokes his tongue inside his cheek.
What do you think?
You know, you got much game, Bird. Much game.
I learned from you.
But what's in this for me?
That night, Lim comes home to Mama's house.
Bird! Bird, where you at, baby? I got some great news.
Lit candles glow on the piano.
Bird!
She's at the head of the dining table, surrounded by more candles and holding a rose. Deep red petals lie scattered across the table.
Found a gig.
She applauds, then stands, showing him her short leopard print negligee.
Yeah. Kenny called me yesterday and told me to ask about a job at the biggest in-house printing company in town. So I went in cold. And they didn't even know who the hell Kenny Simmons was.
She brings him champagne and unsnaps his shirt.
So I knew I had to kick the gang.
Right.
So I told the man, next to the goddamn man, that I was the best man for the job.
Yes.
So finally, he looks at me, stands there, says, "You're hired." Right there on the spot. Like he knew that I knew that he knew that I knew that I was the man. Yeah.
He follows Bird back to the table, where she peels off his undershirt and sits on his lap.
And with enough hours, baby. You know what that means?
What?
Gonna get us our own place, baby.
Oh, yeah?
The chair tips over. Later, at his new job, Lim runs envelopes through a press. Wearing cotton overalls and chewing a wad of gum, he watches the envelopes roll through the machinery. He takes out a couple that slide through wrong. A supervisor strides up with the clipboard.
Hey, Lem. I can't believe you finished that Johnson job. I didn't expect to finish till tomorrow. Good job.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Lem smiles and continues his work.
Hey, can you run a 4.5x9 carver?
Lem grins at a 10-foot-tall machine across the plant.
Yeah, I can work the carver.
You sure?
Sure.
Good man.
As the supervisor leaves, Lem grins and proudly raises his eyebrows. Later, Simuel stands in the doorway of the plant's break room. He spots Lem sitting alone, eating a sandwich off a tray. Striding over in his ash-gray suit, Simuel offers Lem his hand.
Lem Harris. Simuel St. James. Chief Executive of Sales and Marketing.
Sammy.
Yeah, how you doing? I've been hearing a lot of good things about you, brother. I mean, especially the way you've been handling yourself with those machines down there.
I'm no stranger to hard work.
That's good to know. Cigar?
Oh, nah, I don't like cigars.
Sorry, you don't mind, dude.
Simuel sits down with him.
Yeah, like I was saying, man, it's always good to, you know, have more enthusiastic, hardworking employees like yourself. I mean, especially, you know, down there in print.
Lem chews.
I mean, I'm no stranger to hard work myself. I'm like you. See, I'm from the hood, too. But you see, I make $80,000 a year because I was always willing to sacrifice whatever I had to in order to get what I wanted.
He puffs a cigar.
You see, that's why brothers got to stick together. You know, pull one another up in a time of need.
Lem stares at Samuel's enunciating lips.
The white man ain't gonna do it. And sooner than you think, it's gonna be your responsibility to help another brother just like I helped you.
What are you talking about?
I pulled some strings to get you hired. I mean, what you didn't know?
Kenny Simmons referred me.
Who?
Lem blinks. His gaze drifts.
No, I know your wife. Bird. Yeah, she told me about your little felony situation and asked me to hook you up with a gig down in the print department. Man, me and old Cola, we go way back.
Who the fuck is Cola?
Oh, no. That's just a little something, you know, I used to call her back in the day, you know, since she got that body shaped like a Coca-Cola bottle, huh? I mean, she used to just make a brother want to scream, you know?
Lem decks him with his tray. He kicks Samuel in the gut, then keeps kicking him while some white guys try to pull him off. Samuel manages to get up coolly.
You can forget about your job, motherfucker.
Lem shows up at Bird's and slams a glass pane door to her shop. He strides past the salon chair to Bird's station.
Talk to you for a minute.
What is wrong with you?
We talk to you.
Don't worry. Why are you fucking coming in here and tripping?
Get in here.
In the back office.
Think I'm not man enough to find my own fucking job?
I'm sorry.
You fucking that nigga?
No.
What the fuck you have to do for him then, huh? Ain't no man gonna give you a motherfucking thing free.
He pushes her shoulder.
I didn't do nothing with him. I just told him that I was gonna go to dinner with him, and that is it. I'm sorry.
She's wearing the bracelet.
What the fuck is this, huh?
It's nothing.
What the fuck is this?
It ain't shit but a fucking bracelet. This don't mean nothing.
Lim steps back, holding his hand.
Baby, I'm sorry.
Don't fucking touch me! Don't fucking touch me!
His fingers point to her head like guns.
Lim, I love you. I just did this for us.
Clenching his teeth, he slams her into the wall.
You stay the fuck away from me! Motherfucker!
He knocks papers off a filing cabinet, then storms out. Bird braces herself against the wall and heaves, sobbing. Ripping off the bracelet, she throws it on the floor. Later, as Bird's co-workers pound on the bathroom door, she kneels over the toilet.
Call somebody, and I don't want no drama here at this.
So, when Terry was calling in Cousin Blimp to whoop Uncle Lim's ass, all because she thought Lim had beat up Bird. Big misunderstanding. This was one of those times you just knew things were going to get a whole lot worse before they got any better. That's just how it was when my aunties tried to fix each other's messes.
Hey, no guns, you hear me?
Are you okay?
Now, Lim sits at a bar, smoking a cigarette and drinking shots of Glenlivet. An overhead light casts a red glow on his slick, dark head as he leans back and takes a drag. The bartender, a mustached man with frosty gray hair, makes a phone call.
Hello, Maxine is Skinny Bear. This is Rick down at the bar. Your brother-in-law is down here, and he's getting wasted. I didn't know whether to call Berg or not, but I think you need to send somebody down here to get him.
A hulking man strolls in with two other men. They stand beside Lim.
There he is, Cousin Blimp. He's one of those cousins you don't get to see much because he always spends so much time in jail. Of all the people Aunt Terry could have called on to teach Lim a lesson, I can't believe she called on Blimp.
Let me get a couple brews and give my boys a couple too.
Who's paying for this, man?
He's paying for it.
He points at Lim.
Yeah, right, motherfucker.
Blimp cracks a beer bottle on Lim's head. Lim hits the floor. The
fuck is wrong with you, punk?
Lim punches Blimp's boys down, then pulls out his gun on Blimp.
Come on, I'm gonna blow your motherfucking brains out! Shut the fuck up!
With the gun at his skull, Blimp holds up his hands. Later, Kenny drives Bird to the bar.
Stop the car, Kenny! Kenny, pull over!
Cops take Lim handcuffed to their car.
Lim! Lim!
Come on, stay in the car!
Blue police lights flash on Lim's white t-shirt. Ahmad gets out of his dad's back seat and stares at his uncle. Another cop pushes Blimp out of the bar.
Kicking Samuel's ass was one thing, but being an ex-felon and having that gun landed Uncle Lim right back where he didn't want to be. Jail. Talking serious time. Sure enough, the family was starting to fall apart.
Lim returns the stare flatly as a black cop guides him into the police car. Later, Miles writes music at home. Wearing headphones, he makes notes on musical staff paper. As he takes a sip of coffee, Faith comes in.
Hey.
She peeks cautiously across the room.
Terry in?
She's at the hospital.
Faith puts her stuff in a hall closet and takes off her leopard print coat.
Any change?
No.
Trailing her hand along the back of the couch, Faith strolls past an abstract African statue and a console table arranged with contemporary glassware. She sits at the table beside Miles.
It's beautiful. Where's your CD?
I don't know. A little something I'm messing around with. Any news on your audition?
Faith dips her head coyly and grins.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about it.
I'm sure you are.
I was so scared.
You? I gave 2 weeks at my firm today. I quit.
Faith reaches her hand out to him. He shakes it, his muscular forearm flexing.
Man, when your CD drops, you are going to blow up.
I don't know about all that.
Let's celebrate.
Leaving the room, she flips her soft brown hair over her shoulder. Later, they drink beers. Faith lies on the floor in front of the blazing fireplace.
Miles, I'm moving out this weekend. Tara and I living under the same roof together is not working. Terry's tough.
So you're letting her run you out of here, huh?
You're damn right. No, besides that, I need my own space. I'm always on the go, and I can't stay in one place too long. And I got this new gig, so...
So you gotta go.
I don't know, it's always been like that. But, you know, we're all cool. There's no hostilities or anything like that. It's just...
When it's time to go, it's time to go.
That's bullshit.
Excuse me?
Sounds like bullshit. And that's a lonely life. You should stop pretending you don't need anybody because you're just lying to yourself.
Leaning on her elbow, Faith glares at him.
That's how I see it.
He stands, his beer bottle in hand, and leaves Faith alone on the floor.
Going up to the studio.
Moments later, Miles switches on a keyboard. Faith appears outside the door. Miles gapes as she walks down into the sunken studio, equipped with banks of receivers and speakers. Faith strides across the bare wood floor. Tilting her head, she gazes uncertainly at Miles. He sits motionless on his stool, then looks down as she walks directly up to him. Faith presses her limber body against him. Her round breast touches face. As she brushes his head against her, Miles slips his hand along the back of her firm thigh. Then, underneath her short skirt, he closes his eyes. Faith holds his face in her hands, then slowly draws away. Miles looks up, holding her waist. He rises to his feet and they start kissing. Hungrily pressing their mouths together, they move over to the studio's full-length windows overlooking the city. As Faith unbuckles Miles' belt, she props one foot up on the window's low sill. Sliding her hands into his khakis, she grips his butt in her fingers. Miles presses against her. They cling together, their open mouths touching. Downstairs.
You never know.
Yeah.
Terry and Ahmad.
Miles?
Uncle Miles, we're home.
Terry picks a pillow up off the floor.
I must be upstairs in the studio on the roof.
On the studio. Let's go.
Upstairs, Miles stands with his pants hanging below his bare ass and thrusts Faith up and down against the wall. Ahmad and Terry walk up into the roof deck.
Oh, I love it out here, Terry.
I know you love it out here.
Out of breath, Terry sniffs in the cold air. Her blue-green eyes catch the fading light. She halts as she spots Miles through the window, screwing Faith.
We gotta go.
But, Aunt Terry,
let's
I thought
go back to your
gonna...
house.
Aunt Terry.
No, let's just go back, okay?
Inside, Faith arches her back against the wall and wraps her arms desperately around Miles' head. She hooks her legs around his and rubs her black boots along his dropped pants. As Miles squeezes her, his muscular back contracts. He lowers her down. Faith's puffy brown eyes stare at him. Miles shyly glances away from Faith's tousled hair and flushed face. Her red lace bra shows beneath her unbuttoned blouse. Backing away from her, Miles pulls up his zipper. He sits down on the stool with his hands in his lap. Left by the window, Faith sinks down onto the low sill and painfully averts her gaze. Miles stands and shuffles away, rebuckling his belt. Later, strings of colored lights decorate the porch of Kenny and Maxine's Victorian home.
I don't know why we left Miles and Aunt Terry's house so fast, or why Terry was so upset all of a sudden. All I know is she didn't say a word the whole trip. We headed back over to my house that night, where everybody was getting together for my mom and dad's 11th year anniversary party.
Happy anniversary!
Ahmad brings in a white cake lit up with candles. His parents blow them out, beam at their son, then share a kiss. Later on, the woofer of a stereo speaker vibrates with a beat. In the living room, Max and Kenny do the bump as they pass between two lines of party guests. Kenny shimmies his shoulders and struts like a rooster down the line. In the kitchen, Terry leans against the sink and rubs her forehead. Back in the living room, Faith sticks out her butt and grinds in a circle. Maxine goads Ahmad to dance down the line. Hands in the air, he does a slow, funky stump. Later still, couples slow dance in the living room's low red light. Ahmad's parents embrace cheek to cheek. Maxine bites her lip as Kenny whispers in her ear. Terry comes to the door and gazes at the dancing couples. Her jaw locked, she watches Kenny dance with her sister, then spots Miles and leaves the room.
For a party, there sure seemed to be a lot of tension in the air, especially between Terry and Miles. At one point, I think I even saw Aunt Terry crying. Not even my mama can say why.
Kenny caresses his wife's back and squeezes her round behind.
At least my folks seem to be getting along all right, which is always cool.
Maxine closes her eyes and strokes the back of Kenny's neck. Ahmad walks up to them, grinning, and interrupts their kiss.
Honey, why don't you get everybody together in the kitchen so I can talk, okay?
They have a smooch. Then Kenny moves off through the crowd. Ahmad holds up his arms.
Wanna dance?
She gestures him over, and they join hands. Ahmad glances down at his feet, then stretches one arm high to spin his mother around. Kenny walks into the kitchen. His easygoing smile fades, then he slides a door closed behind him.
Terry, you okay?
She stands at the sink, her arms folded. Kenny goes to her.
Are you all right?
Terry gazes at him, then throws her arms around him. He holds her tenderly to his chest for a moment. Collecting herself, Terry takes a couple steps away.
After all these years, you and Max still together, I still envy that. I always thought that maybe if you and I had gotten married, life would be different. But it wouldn't. I'd find a way to screw it up.
Terry, you can't...
What's happening over here?
It's Bird with Miles.
She's talking about this cake.
Terry turns her back as Bird gets a can of soda from the fridge. Maxine joins the group and stands at the end of the tiled counter. Bird hops up onto the stove.
Since we're all together here tonight, I feel like this is a good time for us to talk about Mama's hospital bills. And y'all know her insurance ain't gonna cover everything.
Well, we're talking about, since the five of us are all here, so maybe we can all pitch in, take care of this tonight.
Yes.
Well, what about all that money that Mama has stashed somewhere?
That's just a myth, Bird. So, I felt that Terry and Miles could pay for everything, and then maybe we could pay you all back in installments or something.
Don't you start running that game on me again. What, do you expect me to bail Lem out of jail, too?
Now, come on, Terry. Lem doesn't have anything to do with this, okay?
Ahmad creeps in unnoticed.
By selling the big house.
What?
We are not selling the house.
Mama and Daddy saved their whole life for that house, Terry.
We can't even agree on anything as small as Sunday dinners. Nobody's paying for the taxes or the utilities except me. And now we can finally put Uncle Pete in a home like we've been talking about for years.
We are not putting Uncle Pete in a home. Mama would kill us.
You are tripping.
I'm selling the house.
You're not selling the house.
I am the guardian of her estate. That means I make the decisions.
Come on now, Terry. Listen to what they're saying, all right? Your mama worked hard to keep that house in the family. For everyone. For you and your family.
Oh, fuck the family! The family? I love the family in my house. You know what? The family fucked my husband.
Bird's mouth drops open.
Yeah, Faith fucked my husband.
Miles.
Terry.
And what are you gonna say, huh?
Terry.
Terry what?
Talk about this.
Can we talk about what? Fuck you!
She grabs a cake knife and chases Miles. In the living room, she goes for Faith. Kenny gets a grip on the knife handle.
Let it go!
He wrenches it away. Miles gapes, panting. Turning around, he catches Maxine's eye, then heads for the front door. Ahmad swallows hard. Terry turns on a sobbing Faith.
Get out! I'm so sorry!
Get out! Get the fuck out!
Thank you!
One of the party guests puts a steadying hand on Ahmad's shoulder. Terry turns away, helplessly holding her forehead. Bird puts her arms around her. Kenny looks down at the knife in his hand. Ahmad takes a slow breath, standing apart from the others.
It's okay, Terry. Just calm down.
Later, wearing a Nike cap, Ahmad sits at his grandmother's bedside.
In the 5 weeks, Big Mama was in that coma. Every grown-up in the family managed somehow to go crazy. I know, because I just about went crazy, too.
Big Mama's eyelids flutter, then slowly open. She lies on her back with her hair braided on top of her head and a breathing tube in her nostrils. Turning on her pillow, she sees Ahmad and smiles. He sits up agape, then smiles back.
You... you were... here. Weren't you?
Yeah. Everybody was worried about you. But not me. I knew you'd come around. I love you, Big Mama.
She smiles toward the ceiling and tries to take a deep breath.
The family's a mess, isn't it?
Daylight glows on Mama's smooth brown skin.
A lot of bad things happened while you were gone.
If you let bad things stop you, you won't be here for the good things. I'm tired, baby. But my soul is tired. I need you to do something for me. Only you can do it. I need you to...
Big Mama, what's wrong?
Her head jerks against the pillow with each cough as she gulps for air. A nurse comes into the room, followed by a doctor.
Son, you're gonna have to wait outside.
It's okay, son. We'll take good care of it.
Picking up his backpack and jacket, Ahmad obediently leaves the room. He takes another look back before a nurse pushes past him and shuts the door. With his cap cocked sideways on his head and his pack on one shoulder, Ahmad strides slowly down the hallway. His eyes glisten with tears.
Dr. Horowitz to the nurse's station. Why should I?
Later, in a riverside cemetery, about 30 mourners stand at Big Mama's graveside, where a wreath of flowers adorns her steel casket.
Should the shadows come, and why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and the home?
The Joseph sisters sit in chairs facing the casket. Kenny stands behind them, his hand on Ahmad's shoulder, as he listens to the singer.
A constant friend is he.
Terry looks up and sees Miles a few feet away. Her green eyes gaze forlornly at him. Her chest heaves with labored breaths.
The sparrow
Faith stands several feet behind him. Maxine bites her lip and shudders. Bird sits alone, tears streaming down both cheeks. Ahmad's long-lashed eyes blink.
Pulling together in times of need, that had always been Big Mama's job. But who was going to do it now that she was gone?
Later, Maxine drives up to Big Mama's house, where a for sale sign stands in the front yard. Glaring, she shakes her head.
Mama ain't even lukewarm in the ground yet, and that damn girl got her house for sale.
Maxine marches across the yard and trots up the high porch steps. Letting herself in with a key, she walks into the living room and takes off her scarf. In the adjacent dining room, an old man sits at the table. He has bristly white whiskers and a long, straight nose. Wearing a summer robe over pajamas, he holds a walking stick between his knees.
Uncle Pete?
He slowly turns his head, which bobbles on his thin neck. Maxine smiles warmly.
What you doing out of your room?
His hands trembling, he cocks his head at her.
We going to the creek today, Joe? We can catch some trout. For dinner. Put it in the iron pot and seal with lard or cooking oil, Joe.
No. I'm Maxine, Uncle Pete. Joe's daughter.
His gaze drifts away. Maxine tries to hold her friendly smile as her eyes fill with tears.
She's gone. She's dead.
Remember Daddy used to raise hogs? He'd gut them and he'd cure the cut-up meat in brine and put them in the smokehouse for sausages.
Shaking his head wistfully, he smiles. Uncle Pete's weary eyes fix on Maxine.
Daddy gone now. So you got to take care of me now, Joe.
He looks away again. Maxine's face strains against her tears. She nods decisively, then walks around the table to Uncle Pete.
That's right. I'm gonna take good care of you. Come on now, Uncle Pete. You want some catfish?
The old man nods.
Huh?
Now, in a restaurant, Maxine and Bird sit at a table set for three. They sip coffee between glances at the street.
Look, there she is.
Looks great.
Terry strides briskly past the window. Maxine signals with her hand.
Terry. Hi.
We didn't order yet because we're waiting for you to get here.
A fire engine speeds past the restaurant.
What's up? Look, Terry, I know you're mad at the world for what's happened between you and Miles. I understand. You're taking it out on the whole family, and that's not right.
Terry crimps the corners of her mouth. She looks from Maxine to Bird, then lifts her eyebrow.
Sorry. We're gonna stop the sale of Mama's house.
Terry sits stone-faced.
So I went to Kenny's lawyer, and I drew up a motion to cease and desist.
Setting down an envelope, Maxine gives a little shrug.
Sorry.
Terry stands up.
Okay.
I'm sorry, too.
Well, Terry, don't leave!
She takes the injunction notice.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
I gotta go to the bathroom.
Bird stomps off in her knee-high go-go boots. In the ladies' room, she stands at the sink and dries her eyes with a tissue. Walking out through the restaurant's narrow back hallway, she meets Maxine coming toward her.
You okay? Huh?
Lim's gonna be a daddy.
Maxine's face lights up.
So you're the fish in Mama's dream.
Yeah. Wow. Maxie, I miss him so much.
I know, bird. But you can't call your ex to help your husband find a job behind his back. A man has to be a man. And if he feels that you take that away from him, he has nothing. Like with Mama. You remember when Daddy went and lost all that money gambling? Remember?
Yes.
She didn't trip. She just did what she had to do. And she left him with his dignity. You see what I'm saying? Men need that.
Yeah. I guess you're right.
I'm gonna be an auntie.
She tenderly touches Bird's belly.
I just wish I could be like you.
Please.
And so does Terry. That's why she acts the way she does.
Girl, you got your own shop, and Terry's got a great job at the firm. Shoot, all I got is a husband and some kids, but they badasses.
Mama always said that you were the strongest one in the family. I just want to say thank you for always supporting me.
You my sister, girl.
Love you, Maxie.
Love you, too.
Come here, girl.
They hug, pat each other's backs, then walk down the hall with their arms around each other.
Just fine. We gotta get some bottles, Pampers.
Oh, God.
You ready for that?
Yeah.
Later.
Get ready.
Yeah, it's Terry Joseph for Jonathan Oliver, please.
Terry must have felt really bad about what she did to Lynn.
Jonathan.
Because the next thing you knew, she was calling in a favor from some downtown big shot.
I have a favor.
Now, in a lakeside park, Maxine walks with Ahmad, who carries a basketball.
Wow, Steele, the way you just pulled up and scored. Oh, sweet move, baby, sweet move.
Yeah. Well, Mama, why you always gotta be so loud?
Hey, I don't care what they say. You my baby, and I'm proud of you.
Mama, think you can hook up a victory dinner?
Sure, baby, anything you want.
Think I can grab on some lima beans, neck bones, greens with some hot sauce, hot cakes, and some fried chicken.
Dang! All of that?
All of that.
All right. Besides, I haven't cooked like that since...
They share a glance.
So when you want to have this little victory dinner?
Sunday. At Big Mama's.
Maxine stops. Smiling, she points a finger at Ahmad.
You up to something?
Huh?
Boy, I carried you for 9 months, went through 23 hours, 45 minutes, 10 seconds of labor. Wiped your little butt while your little ding-a-ling pee-peed in my face. So Mama knows when you up to something.
He ducks into the collar of his down jacket.
You're trying to get everybody together for Sunday dinner, aren't you?
He swallows and nods.
But Mama wants me to. I think it's what she was trying to tell me before she died.
Maxine tucks her son's head under her arm as they walk along.
You like that last shot, right?
Oh, man, that last shot was the bomb!
So, you know, just keep doing like that, baby. When you get older, you're going to be able to get
a fat contract, right? My house.
You're going to give me a Lexus, right?
Lexus.
And a Ferrari, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to be like...
Guys, that's sounding good, but I'm still missing a note. Come on, let's do it again.
Later, in a recording studio, Miles' band records vocal tracks.
One.
Ahmad sits in and listens.
Four.
Girl, I care about you. I'm there for you. So why don't you care for me
like I care about you?
Good, good, better. Yeah, let's take a break, all right?
All right, leave little man to his business.
The four band members leave Miles with his nephew. They shake hands.
I'm glad you could make it down, Shorty.
I'm glad I could, too. It's been tough, you know, with school and working at the shop afterwards. And trying to coordinate with what to do with all the loot Big Mama left me.
What loot?
He visits Dead each family member.
Cash?
When did she leave it to you?
The day she died. Sal's the only one at the hospital. And Big Mama told me where she stashed a lot of money for me none of y'all knew about.
So how much money are you talking about?
Lots.
I mean, buku.
Buku?
Buku.
See, Faith, I was thinking, maybe you can help me figure out what to do with the dough.
Now, this is not the money from the will?
Aunt Terry, you're the smartest in the family.
You know that's right.
If I was your son,
mm-hmm.
Will you invest in my future?
Sure.
Do the right thing for family.
Absolutely.
See, I figure if you help me, I can give you a third. You know, like a fee.
A fee?
Yeah, a fee. Then you can pay off Big Mama's bills. So you won't have to sell a house. And I can give you a percentage if you help me invest it. Then maybe you can use the money to promote your new CD.
Have you told anybody else about this?
No, but I'd be willing to give you some of it. And you can pay off on Terry's loan.
Why don't you tell me?
Where the money is.
So let's go get it. When would be a good time?
Sunday at 3. At Big Mama's.
On Sunday, Bird comes home through the kitchen door.
Hey.
Hey.
Maxine's whole family's making salad.
What y'all doing here?
We're just cooking a little Sunday dinner.
Ahmad stirs Kool-Aid, his big brown eyes fixed on Bird. Maxine smirks. Her hair is in a French twist, and she wears a bib apron. Bird hangs her wool pea coat on a rack, then puts on her baby blue apron of her own.
All right. Get on out the way and let the ladies handle this.
Okay, after all the hard work is done, you gonna come in?
You can go work hard with that remote control and watch the football, all right?
I can do that?
Yeah, you can.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need anything?
No.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bird watches Maxine pour batter into a round cake pan.
You want me to start these dumplings?
Yeah, but you watch that measuring, because you know how you are.
As Maxine turns away, Bird mouths to Ahmad, I'm gonna kick your butt. Why you didn't tell me?
Well, this will be the test to see if 40 years of tradition and a heap amount of soul food could pull our family right back together again.
Now, Terry comes in the front door. She hangs her black designer bag on a coat rack, then slides her winter coat off her slender shoulders. Ahmad runs up to meet her.
Hey, Aunt Terry. What's up?
Hey.
She bends down to give him a big hug, then straightens.
There's a car outside. Is your mom here?
He nods towards the kitchen. Terry takes a deep breath.
Somebody cooking?
Why don't you go in the kitchen and see?
She fixes Ahmad in a smoldering glare, then struts past him into the kitchen. Pushing open the swinging door, she stops short. Bird peeks up and smiles sheepishly. Maxine smiles too and continues her work. Terry takes another deep sniff of the air. Opening the oven, she takes out a skillet of cornbread and sets it on the counter. Bird and Maxine keep busy cooking, still wearing tight-lipped grins. Terry covers the bread with a plate and flips the skillet over. She eases the skillet off, letting the cornbread drop onto the plate. Little Kelly works beside her mother, rolling chicken and cornmeal. Terry joins her sisters at the kitchen center island and looks around at the preparations. She picks up her fresh ear of corn and starts shucking. Her face softens, then she finally smiles.
Yeah, smells in the kitchen, bringing back the good old days. Dumplings, deep-fried catfish, macaroni and cheese, and sweet cornbread. The kind Big Mama used to make look like pound cakes so his kids would eat it. I just wanted the good old feelings back, too. And so did Big Mama.
The sisters carefully prepare the meal. They pour sweet potato filling into a pie crust, then coat catfish and cornmeal. They cut dough into cracker-sized squares, then boil them in water, making dumplings. A thick ham hock simmers in a pot of black-eyed peas. Fish drop into hot oil. A white enamel pot holds collard greens. Later, the darkened greens simmer in murky water. Miles comes in the front door and looks around uneasily. He unbuttons his coat and turns down the collar, his mouth hanging open. Approaching the dining room, he finds Maxine, Terry, and Bird setting the table. Maxine glances away, and Bird eyes him, turning a piece of silverware in her fingers. Miles gulps. Terry stares coldly. As she leaves the room, Ahmad pops in and throws his arms up in the air.
Hey, Miles, what's up, man? How you doing?
Grinning, he strides over and grips Miles' hand.
Hey, man. What's going on here, Ahmad?
We having Sunday dinner, man. We got some string beans, catfish, chicken and dumplings, man, some cornbread.
I don't think I should be here.
Lim comes in and nods to Ahmad. He greets Miles, touching his fist to his own chest.
Hey, Lim, when did you get out of jail?
What's going on? Hey,
how you doing, Miles?
Talk to you for a minute.
Why don't you come on in and have a seat? We're going to serve dinner in a minute.
What's going on in there?
We having Sunday dinner.
Sunday dinner?
Lim looks Ahmad in the eye.
I fucked up, huh?
They sit face to face. Ahmad stares.
How's Bird doing?
She's in there. Why don't you go ask her?
It looks like a family thing going on in there. I don't want to butt in.
Why not? Your family?
Lim tenderly socks his nephew's arm.
Hey, Ahmad. I know I let you down and... sorry, but I want you to know I ain't beat on your auntie. I pushed her, and that was bad enough, but I didn't hit her. I would never, ever hit a woman. You believe me?
As Ahmad smiles, Bird rounds the corner into the living room.
Ahmad, your mama said get upstairs and wash your hands and get ready for dinner.
She smiles.
I'll leave you two alone.
Oh, you're home.
She wraps her arms around him. They embrace.
I missed you so much. I missed you so much. Are you okay?
I'm fine, baby. I messed up.
I'm sorry.
I love you.
I love you too. I have something to tell you.
Ahmad?
Cousin Faith. She freezes in the doorway, and Bird rolls her eyes.
I can't even believe she's here.
Taking Lim's hand, Bird leads him out of the room and gives Faith a snubbing glance. Lim waves. Bird tugs him past. Faith gapes at Ahmad.
Hey, Faith, what's up?
Ahmad, what's going on? How come everybody's here?
We just having Sunday dinner.
Sunday dinner?
Yeah, Sunday dinner. You know, we got some chicken and dumplings, some string beans, catfish.
Faith shakes her head, then leans down close to his face.
Not cool, Ahmad. I'm out of here.
Faith! Wait, please stay. Please?
Later, the family holds hands around the table.
Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us another day on earth. Another day to glorify your name and sanctify ourselves with your mercy. Lord, I'm grateful that the people I love most in the world are here to celebrate life and the lessons as it unfolds. And let one of those lessons be acceptance and love, so we can be a family again and love each other like we used to. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Reverend Williams sits at one end of the table. Ahmad sits in Big Mama's chair. Maxine holds the baby in her arms.
Well, I have a surprise for everyone later, but for now, why don't we just eat?
I can say amen to that.
Amen.
They dig in. Miles shovels fast, staring at the table. Kenny and Maxine keep their mouths full. Terry takes tiny bites from the end of her fork. She shoots a penetrating glare across the table at Miles, who takes an anxious bite. At the other end of the table, Faith slowly draws her fork from between her lips. Bird eats beside her, wearing a black knit cap. At her side, Lim grins.
Everybody, got my job back.
That's really good, man.
Yeah, they asked the brother back to work because they know I'm a good, strong, skilled worker.
That's right.
So how did you get out of jail, man?
Tell you the truth, man, I don't even know. Somebody talked to somebody and charges got dropped. Here I am.
Are we glad to have you home, brother?
Yes, sir.
That's right.
That's right. My boo is home.
Actually, I called a friend of mine at the DA's office for a favor.
Lim's smile droops. Maxine and Ahmad scan the faces around the table.
I felt bad.
Well, you should feel bad. Because of you, I had to spend weeks in jail.
You should be thankful. Now you can spend some time and take care of your pregnant wife.
You know what, Terry? You need to mind your own damn business, all right? Did nobody ask you for your help? You need to be worrying about your husband and why he's sleeping with her.
Maxine winces. Faith and Terry both look at Miles, who sighs. Faith stands up.
No, sit.
Now let it go if she wants to.
Terry, I'm sorry, but she's always running away. You're family, and we're gonna deal with this.
Faith takes her seat, and Maxine passes a bowl to Ahmad.
Baby, go get me some more peas and take your sister with you.
You're always worrying about somebody else's business. You need to take care of your own husband.
Terry cocks one eyebrow.
So was that it, Miles? I didn't take care of you?
He pokes at the food on his plate.
And we haven't been happy for a long time now.
Bird reaches for her husband's hand and laces their fingers together.
We used to have so much fun.
Terry's sisters look at her expectantly. She swallows.
I don't know what happened. It seems that everything I love, I lose.
Miles shakes his head, fumbling for words.
Good luck with Mother Joe's money.
He stands to go.
Mother Joe's money?
Yeah, what money?
What are you talking about? Supposedly, Mama has some large amount of money stashed someplace in the house that she was saving for Ahmad, and...
In the kitchen, Ahmad dries his hands and listens.
Ahmad! Get in here.
Flinching, Ahmad drops the dish towel on the gas stove
right
and
now.
Comes back in with Kelly.
Ahmad, where's this money that Mother Joe supposedly left you?
There isn't any money. I made it all up.
What? You made it up?
Don't lie like that.
Ahmad, what if I told you about lying?
All the way down.
It's my fault. It's all yours fault. Y'all mess up the family. Can't you see that? Big Mama wanted me to get everyone together for a Sunday dinner. But I didn't know how to do that. Because all y'all do is fight. So I lied. Lied about the money so you come. So we can be a family again. Y'all know that's what Big Mama wanted.
Tears drip from his straining cheeks. Maxine comes to him and holds him against her. Kenny frowns.
Okay. I smell that.
Smell what?
It smells like it's coming from the kitchen.
The men get up and file through the swinging door. Gray smoke swirls through the kitchen. Flames shoot from the back of the stove. Lim fills a bowl with water while Kenny tries beating the fire down. Bird runs in.
Get back!
The fire covers the wall. Lim throws the bowl of water. Gas and flames billow under the stove hood. Terry comes in and gapes in horror. The three men beat the flames with towels. Terry runs out and returns with two. As they spray the flames with the small extinguishers, the fire dies. Smoke surrounds Terry, her husband, and her brothers-in-law as they put the fire out. She stares helplessly at the smoldering stovetop and the blackened walls. Ahmad bursts in with the women, followed by Reverend Williams. They gape and wave off the smoky air. Lim turns on a floor fan.
Oh, no. What happened?
Oh, no.
A few pots sit on the 8-burner stove.
Oh.
Lim aims the whirring fan at the stove.
I forgot. I left the towel in my stove.
Oh, my.
Kenny blasts Uncle Pete with an extinguisher. The old man drops a TV full of cash.
Uncle Pete, you all right? Oh, just got it all on your face. You didn't mean nothing. This is my surprise, everybody. Uncle Pete.
Ahmad blinks with wonder and cracks a smile. The floor fan stirs up the pile of $50 bills and scatters them through the kitchen. It rains down on the family.
Look at all this money!
They grab it as it falls.
Big Mama really did have a pile of money hidden away. And she had it stashed in the last place we all think to look. Uncle Pete's TV. Now I understand what Soul Food was all about. See, during slavery, us black folks didn't have a whole lot to celebrate. So cooking became the way we expressed our love for one another. And that's what those Sunday dinners meant to us. More than just eating. It was a time for sharing our joys and sorrows. Something the old folks say is missing in today's families.
Sometime later.
Things got better for my family after that. And even though Miles and Aunt Terry broke up, it doesn't stop Miles from coming around every now and then and fill his belly with mama's soul food.
The sister's garden.
Lim and Bert are doing good too. They got their own place and are expecting that baby any day now.
Uncle Pete and the guys sit on the back steps.
My mom and Aunt Terry are cool again, at least for the time being. And Faith is finally a part of the family too. And as you can see, we didn't sell a big house. No way, no how. And even though we all miss Big Mama's cooking, laughter and love, none of us feel like life cheated or none. See, she accomplished everything she set out to do. To build a strong family, with a rich tradition, and to leave love on the footprints. Thanks, Big Mama.
Fade to black.
Taught me everything and everything you've given me. I always keep it inside.
This film has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service at WGBH. Described by Robin Sitton. Descriptions read by Kimberly Brooks. Major funding for DVS is provided by the United States Department of Education. For more information, call toll-free 1-800-333-1203. Or visit our website, wgbh.org/DVS.
No one else can be what you have been to me. You will always be. You will always be the girl in my life for all time. Mama. Mama.
Remaining opening titles: Mekhi Pfeiffer, Brandon Hammond, Jeffrey D. Sams, Gina Rivera, and Irma P. Hall. Line producer: Llewellyn Wells. Music by Wendy Melvoin and Lisa Coleman. Film editor: John Carter, ACE. Production designer: Maxine Shepherd. Director of photography: Paul Elliott. Executive producer: Kenneth Babyface Edmonds. Produced by Tracy E. Edmonds and Robert Tittle. Written and directed by George Tillman Jr. Cast list: Vanessa L. Williams as Terry, Vivica A. Fox as Maxine, Neil Long as Bird, Michael Beach as Miles, Mekhi Pfeiffer as Lim, Brandon Hammond as Ahmad, Jeffrey D. Sams as Kenny, Gina Rivera as Faith, Irma P. Hall as Mother Jo, Carl Wright as Reverend Williams, Mel Jackson as Samuel, Morgan Michelle Smith as Kelly, John M. Watson Sr. as Uncle Pete, M.T. Alexander as Jada, Lawrence Petty as Jerome, Marsha Wright as Nicole, Bernard Mixon as Dr. Benson, Hamp Clemens as Hamp, Therone Touche Likes as Blimp, Martel Hill Edmond as Ahmad, age 4, Ross Maja Kuzan as Dreadman, James W. Boinsky as Foreman, Mike Baccarella as Printing Company Owner, Joan Colasso as Choir Member, Don C. Harper as Funeral Minister, George Bashir as Blimp's Henchman Number 1, Larry C. Tankson as Blimp's Henchman Number 2, Austin Curtis as Family Member, Sylvester Pfeiffer as Bartender, Malik Yoba as studio engineer. Kenneth Babyface Edmonds as band member number one. Kieron Edmonds as band member number two. Melvin Edmonds as band member number three. JoJo Haley as band member number four. KC Haley as band member number five. Simon Horrox as band member number six. Randy Walker as band member number seven. Tamara Brown as Terry's secretary. Soundtrack available on The Face Records. Copyright 1997, 20th Century Fox Film Corporation. Information on public screening of this motion picture or video can be obtained by calling 800-890-9494 in the U.S. or 800-565-1996 in Canada. For more information, call 888-223-2FOX or check our website www.fox.com.